This is a Rabble Podcast Network show.
New voices in your head.
It's Radio
Free
Radio.
Hi, I'm Wayne McPhail, and I was one of the people that originally started the Rabble Podcast Network, and I think that you should support the Rabble Podcast Network and Rabble.ca because there's no other place where you're going to get such a diversity of voices speaking truth to power.
The Rabble Podcast Network is 10 years old this year. Show your support by going to www.rabble.ca/donate.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
World Check, a company established in 2000, claims to provide intelligence profiles of risky individuals and organizations. They say they do this by monitoring hundreds of regulatory laws and enforcement lists and hundreds of thousands of sources. They then provide their information to institutions and governments. The ostensible reason for this information is to provide banks and other groups with enough information so that they are not accidentally engaged in illegal activity. However, there are concerns that what they are doing is creating a terrorism database, a database with little or no accountability. Monia Mazik is one of those concerned. She is a writer and human rights advocate. She is the author of Hope and Despair, My Struggle to Free My Husband, Meir Arar. And she recently wrote the article, Are You on the Terrorism Blacklist? Monia has joined us by phone to discuss World Check. Hello, Monia.
Yes, hello.
Why are you concerned about World Check?
Well, first of all, this is something quite incredible because it almost is something out of science fiction or conspiracy, because this is first of all happening on a world scale level. So we are not talking about one country here, but we are talking of a list of individuals across the world, a list also of organizations across the world that are targeted by this list. Also, the second point I have, and that's very troubling as well, I find, is this is a private business. This is really a business that basically operates on our behalf and our reputation, and we have nothing really, no accountability there. So it is very concerning.
Can you tell us a little bit more about how World Check is getting their information?
Basically, it is an organization, I would say more like it is a business that was founded in 1999. And so far, apparently, it contains 2.7 million entries. I mean, the biggest surprise, I would say here in a very sarcastic tone, is that many of these names are Muslim individuals and organizations. They don't tell us how people end up in there, whether this is like, I mean, they claim that they do research, but when you have people like Mohammed Iqbal Asaria, and it was again discovered into that investigation by The Intercept, he is a British national. He was former World Bank and Bank of Canada, England advisor. And he was even a commander of the Order of British Empire Award in 2005. And his name appears there. So this is just the absurdity, in a way, of this kind of list. It is also apparently consulted by 300 governments and intelligence agencies. So we are here talking really not by an obscure or a marginalized organization. This is quite serious in the way that it is respected by agencies and government.
And do you know if Mohammed was able to get his name off the list?
Not as far as I know, from at least from what it was reported in that investigation. There are some individuals in the UK who are challenging the fact that they are on the list. And this is another problem and issue with this list. You don't know where you end up there, but also you cannot challenge it. It is mentioned in that same investigation that some senior high-level officers working there, I think for over 8 years, working in the World Checklist, and they said that they have never seen somebody removed from there.
And then what are the types of things that can happen to you if your name is on this list?
Well, I can give you an example, again, based on this investigation that I was telling you about by the journalist of The Intercept. They said that there is apparently an organization in the UK that was stripped of their charitable status, if I'm not mistaken, and considered as financing terrorism or financing terrorist activities. And they figured out that it was the World Check, that organization, who is basically behind that information about them. That was probably consulted by the government. Again, here we are talking in kind of hypothesis, because there is no transparency. So there are cases where the indications seem to point toward that they are behind the listing of some organization as terrorists without really an evidence or proof.
And do you know if there's any examples within Canada or the Canadian government?
This is what I would like to know, because, we know how the last decade when we had the Harper government in place, some organization were kind of audited, some others were even literally branded as terrorist organization, and those cases were even brought to court, but they never ended. We never knew how the government decided on branding these organizations as terrorists. So maybe yes, maybe no. We don't know here, but I would love to see a similar maybe investigation by some Canadian journalist who can really shed some light here.
And Monia, I know that we know that you've been personally very heavily impacted by sort of the mentality of the things like World Check. Where do you think we are? I mean, several years down the road after the events that happened to your husband, Mayor Arar.
Well, the example, the first one that comes to my mind is that my husband, for instance, cannot travel, or at least he doesn't want to travel because of that possibility that his name is still on the American no-fly list. Having this information still there might lead again to, to him being arrested or sometimes delayed, or so he doesn't want to go through that for personal, physical, mental reasons, and of course legal reasons. So he just basically does not travel. So I think the fact that we lived with this shadow over our heads, maybe I'm on the list, maybe I'm not, maybe I'm on that World Check, maybe I'm not. So this is very, very consuming from inside, I guess. And this is the new, unfortunately, the new lives we have.
And in addition to that, it's not only this sort of fear mentality, but there's people now profiting off of it.
Absolutely, absolutely. And this is why I found this outrageous, because this is not really, I mean, we are not talking here about government agencies doing that, because we do have government agency here in Canada, like FINTRA, who operates, I mean, it's called the Financial Transaction and Report Analysis Center, that would monitor the money of Canadians and to make sure that this is not being channeled into money laundering or terrorist activity. So we are not even talking about this sort of, you know, agency. We are talking here about a profitable, like a business for profit, that is using some information. And some of the websites apparently that are feeding these huge million of database are actually have been discovered by the journalists. They are being fed by some anti-Muslim proponents like Daniel Pipes and Stephen Emerson. So they constitute the base, or at least some of the base of this profit organization for profit. So this is where we are, very much discouraging. Basically, this is an industry.
Moni, are you at all hopeful that we can move to a better place, away from this fear?
Well, of course. I mean, as long as we have, you know, people, I guess, conscious people, people aware, who are informed, well-informed, who had some critical analysis. Of course, I mean, we can do that. Unfortunately, the last 10 years, whether it is in Canada or in the U.S., it seems that the direction taken by these two countries, to mention those only the least, are more direction of secrecy, of, you know, really spying on citizens, on not really respecting the privacy of citizens, sharing information on citizens. And we have many examples even here, very very recent here in Canada. So I'm kind of I have mixed feeling. Yes, there are some people who are doing excellent works in bringing more transparency to what's going on, in trying to stop this trend of taking advantage of people, their personal data, selling them to corporations and making profits, and not only that, ruining the reputation, ruining the business of people, their way of their living. So, yeah, mixed feelings. Some of them are doing great work. Some others, unfortunately, like this world, the checklist, it's just, it makes me feel very discouraged.
Well, Monia, thank you so much for speaking to us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
I've been speaking with Monia Mazik. She is a writer and human rights advocate. She is the author of Hope and Despair, My Struggle to Free My Husband, Meher Arar. She recently wrote the article, Are You on the Terrorism Blacklist? And you can find that article at rabble.ca.